Elektroauto News. Der Podcast rund um das Thema Elektromobilität. Mit aktuellen Entwicklungen, Diskussionen, Interviews und vielem mehr.
Servus und herzlich willkommen bei einer neuen Folge des Elektroauto News.net Podcast. Ich bin Sebastian und freue mich, dass du wieder mit am Start bist. Und heute geht es in unserer Podcast-Folge mal nicht um Deutschland oder eher nur am Rande, sondern um einen Markt, der in Sachen E-Mobilität gerade in einer ganz anderen Liga spielt. Nicht in absoluten Stückzahlen, aber in der Art und Weise, wie man das Ganze angeht. Dänemark. Mein Gast in der aktuellen Folge ist Ilias Dokru, Chefberater und Verbraucherökonom beim FDM, dem dänischen Pendant zum ADAC, um es kurz einzuordnen. Wir sprechen darüber, warum jedes fünfte Auto im Land bereits ein E-Auto ist, was die Dänen bei Steuerpolitik, Ladeinfrastruktur und Smart Meter besser machen und welche Lehren Deutschland daraus ziehen kann. Das Gespräch haben wir in Englisch geführt. Ich bin bei Ilias ins Auto reingestiegen und wir sind in und um Kopenhagen herum gefahren, haben uns unterhalten. Von daher tauchen wir direkt ein in das Gespräch, in die erste Frage mit Ilias Dokru. Viel Spaß damit.
I will start with some easy question, I think, for you, Ilias. You're a chief consultant and consumer economist at FDM. First of all, tell us a little bit about FDM and also about your person. Does your role involve what you're doing with e-mobility? Just a little bit background about you.
As you said, my name is Ilias and I have been working at FDM for the last 8 years as a chief consultant and also as consumer economist. FDM is, you can translate it as United Motorist Federation.
Okay.
It's the motor club of consumers who gathered together for more than 100 years ago. We are like ADAC in Germany or ANWB in Holland. There are sister organizations. I am working with the, first of all, the politics. My role is to have the right politics regarding to e-mobility. And it's which taxes are we going to have on the cars? How is the e-mobility going to be implemented in Denmark? And I'm also the organization's spokesperson regarding to e-mobility, charging infrastructure. And I'm always quite looking at the car sales. How many EVs are there in Denmark? Which type of cars are you buying? Et cetera, et cetera. I'm also a geek regarding to charging.
Okay.
So I also bought this car. The main reason is that it's one of the fast charging cars. And I think it's fascinating how the technology is and how it's developing. When I started at FDM for 8 years ago, I think we had less than 10,000 electrical vehicles on the road. But today we can celebrate that we have more than 600,000 EVs on the road. So it's a quite big difference.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So every fifth car in Denmark is today a battery electric vehicle. And we have more electric vehicles than on the roads than we have the diesel. So it's also something, some big news for a country like Denmark.
I thought I looked at the numbers of last year. So where you reached around, was in December 2025, 81% of the registered cars were all electric vehicles there. And yesterday I learned that you had last year around 500,000 cars.
Mm.
And in the next 3 months, you already, just like I said, over the amount of 600,000 cars. So a huge growth there from this side. What would you say is the most important part that Denmark is going these steps ahead now? So in faster growing steps there.
Exactly. Actually, almost 174 days, we went from 500 EVs to 600.
Wow.
So it's going very fast.
Yeah.
And the main reason is that we earlier in the Danish politicians had this stop and go politic. You had some subsidized to electric vehicles or some tax exemption from for the electric vehicles, then they stopped it and then we got it back again. So every December we could send some letters to the politicians to say we need some consistent politics on the EVs. Back in 2020, the Danish politicians agreed on that we should have some better politics on taxation of EVs.
Yeah.
And they decided that they will have this tax exemption for EVs up to 500,000 Danish kroners.
Mm-hmm.
So if you buy an EV in Denmark for like 500,000 Danish kroners back in 2020, you didn't pay taxes, only the VAT. And this, how do you call it? This point will be lowered every year.
Okay.
So the next year it will be 475 and 450,000 Danish kroners. And today it's down to 419,000 Danish kroners. At the same time, when you have this exemption for the EVs, you have one of the world's highest taxes on the petrol cars, gasoline cars, and the diesel cars. And when you have it, you have no taxes on EVs and the highest taxes on the alternative. Yeah. Then the EVs get very competitive against the fossil cars. So the main reason of this success in Denmark is the taxation. And I know that you in Germany have no registration taxation on the car. So when you buy a car, you pay the price and you pay the VAT. But there is no other taxation. In Denmark, you have up to 150% taxation.
Wow. Okay.
So if you have a car in Germany that costs, let's say, 10,000 euros, in Denmark it will cost 150% more because you have this taxation.
Yeah.
Of course, there are some other regimes, but that's the story. This is one of the elements. But at the same time, when we fix this politics, we also got cars like Tesla Model 3 and Volkswagen ID.3 and so on, Hyundai Kona. Came at the same time, and this made a beginning success in 2020-2021. Then we had this energy crisis in 2022,
where
the prices for gasoline and diesel
was going up, and
going up, and were the highest ever we have seen. I think it was up to 20 kroner per liter diesel. And it's very, very high, and that made people to look at the alternatives.
Yeah.
Because the alternatives were that in the middle of the day, in a country like Denmark, you can charge almost free.
Okay.
Because you have the sun, you have the wind, and when the guy who drove the diesel or gasoline were paying the highest, then the EVs paid almost nothing.
Yeah.
And this made this was eye opener for many to the EVs. So we saw a lot of people changing to electric vehicle after 2022.
Yeah.
And then we had this 13th January of 2023 where Tesla dumped the prices all over. Yeah. And it made a huge impact on people's views on electrical vehicles. A lot of people who couldn't change to EVs, they now
had the chance
because the prices were affordable.
Yeah.
So we saw actually at the Tesla Model Y broke a lot of records in Denmark, as that car, that model that was sold most of in 1 year, it was the record before was a Opel Kadett from 1986.
Wow.
So, it was a crazy year. At the same time, when you have these prices and developments and the cars and the vehicles and the prices, at the same time, you have all this on the other side, the other leg of the e-mobility, which is charging. So we got a lot of charging points in Denmark from 2020 up to now. So we now have more than 60,000 public charging points. 60,000 is a huge number. For a small country like Denmark, you have to think that from the northest part of the Denmark to the southest part of Denmark, you only have 500 kilometers, etc. And we have today more than 7,000 fast charging.
High power chargers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's also, again, very good numbers for a country like Denmark.
Yeah.
At the same time, the politicians also had this tax exemption for charging an EV. So when you charge at home, you pay the taxes, but you will get it refunded afterwards.
Okay.
So that means that it was actually quite cheap to drive an EV. So when you look at an EV and compare it with a gasoline car, then you would say, okay, the EV is much higher to buy, but when you look at the total cost of ownership, then the EVs were extremely cheaper. So you could buy an EV that were 100,000 more expensive, but still were cheaper to have because the difference, then you will get it in 5 years.
Yeah.
And that was eye-opener for many Danes who switched to EVs. So you have, on one leg, you have some stable politics, you have prices that were going down, and then you have e-mobility, where the charging infrastructure is developing very fastly, and the prices are actually competitive. You pay very low electricity prices at home because you can plan your charging,
mm-hmm.
and you have almost many apps where you can see the prices for the electricity and charge when it's cheaper. But even when you don't have a chance to charge at home, then there are a lot of charges, and still it's cheap to charge at the public charges than it is, for example, using gasoline or diesel to your car. So they are the main reasons for this success that we have in Denmark regarding to EVs.
Yeah, I think one important point which you mentioned is the politician stability. So that you have one way you go, or not just like in Germany, we see it, okay, one step forward, two steps back, three forward, one or two back. This is, even the OEMs, the daily drivers, nobody could plan accordingly because you don't know where it's going next. Even if you know, okay, total cost of ownership, even in Germany, it's much lower than a gasoline car. But from my point of view, or from the people I know, cars are selling more in Germany because of the emotions.
Mm.
People have 50 car, and we are a fuel car land, I would say. And what I get from our speaking here, or touching points here with another, is that in Denmark, people more are looking also on the cost side. So they are more economically and say, okay, it's the best way for us to save money or to have more from our money in the next 5 to 10 years than if I drive EV.
Exactly, exactly. And it's because the cars are the most or the second most biggest investments in the households. So we also always had this high taxes on cars, which made that cars were extremely expensive. And the people always look at the economy, at the cost when they are looking at the cars. For 15 years ago, we had a boom of these microcars, Volkswagen Up or Peugeot 107, Citroën C1, because they were so cheap to buy. We got a boom of them because there were low taxes. And then they made the regime change a lot of times. And when we had this tax exemption for EVs, it moved also that way because people are looking at the economy, when they are looking at the cars. And in the third or the fourth place, it's climate.
Yeah, for sure. Nobody's, or the lowest amount of people are buying it because of the sustainability side of the cars. I think, first of all, they look at the money which will save and will be there. And this is a nice benefit and feature to have an economic sustainable car in there.
Exactly. And we are not a car producing country. We don't have any OEMs. So for us, it's just a thing that can transport us
from A to B.
And
So you're not emotionally attached like the co-worker or the workers, the worked years for years for Audi or for VW and have this emotional attachment there. Then.
No, I think everybody in Germany knows somebody who was working at the car industry.
For sure.
It's so big, but it's not the same here. So you don't have the same relations to cars. I think for most people, it's about the economy and will it be easy for me to change from one to another? And is it working in my everyday, or is it I'm going to have some problems with that? That's the thing that consumers are thinking about.
Yeah.
It's quite simple in Denmark because you don't have these emotions. You don't have a relation to the brands also, because we saw a new brand like Tesla. It got huge success in Denmark just because of the prices. And of course, there was a lot of hype about Tesla in for five, six years ago because it was the innovation. It was, and everybody liked Elon Musk, and he was the guy who was going to make the transportation more sustainable and so on and so on. But the things have since
changed. Person has changed and but I understand what you mean.
Exactly. And you also have a lot of alternatives today.
Yeah.
Because if you look at the roads, you will see a lot of Volkswagen cars, ID buses. I think we are the second or the third most.
I saw this a lot here. Yeah.
Exactly. We are the second or the third most biggest market for the ID bus in the world. And it's we are still talking about a small country like Denmark. So when you have these alternatives from European cars to Tesla, and the Chinese are also pushing for the market entry, the prices are going down. But one of the elements in that also made that we reached 600,000 EVs is the German government.
Okay,
because they were subsidizing a lot of EVs back in 2022 and 2023.
Yeah.
And there was this rule about that the cars had to be in Germany for 1 or 2 years. I don't remember.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay.
Putting that mouse.
I can go back to the beginning.
Sorry. Yeah, Germany would be good to first start from there.
One of the reasons that we have this success in Denmark, that we reached 600,000 EVs, is the German government's because they had this subsidy to EVs in back in 2022 or 2023. I don't remember it, but there was also a rule about that the cars had to be in Germany in 1 year, and afterwards they could export the car.
Yeah.
So a lot of German cars, EVs that got this subsidy, were exported to Denmark with prices that were extremely affordable in Denmark.
Yeah.
So I think last year, and this is a quite an interesting number, the new registrations of EVs were 126,000. 126,000 EVs as new. But we also had a used import at 80,000.
Wow.
Almost.
Okay.
So we got last year more than 200,000 EVs from outside of the country.
Yeah.
So when you have this subsidy in Germany, in France, in Italy, in Spain, and there is no demand out to these cars after the period, the leasing period or the contract period, then what do dealers do with the cars?
Yeah. Interesting.
They ship it to Denmark.
Yeah.
Because
and Denmark is happy about it. And they,
exactly. Yeah. Because you got the cheaper cars.
Yeah.
And when you have this overproduction in Europe, that makes that you have a lot of more supply EVs than demand, then it will press the prices for the used cars, but also for the new cars, because If I can buy a new ID4 for 350,000, but a used one, which is used only in half a year, for 50,000,
You know where you go.
Yeah, exactly. Then you will buy the used import. So we now see still that there are a lot of cars outside Denmark that are coming to Denmark as used import, and it's not just old cars, it's newer cars from some of them are quite new, I actually personally bought one Tesla Model Y, which was from Germany and had driven only 50 kilometers.
It's not like
it's a new car.
It's like new, yeah.
But it had to wait somewhere in Germany for half a month before it came to Denmark, okay. Then I could buy it from the dealer. So that's also one of the other part of the story why this is a huge success in Denmark. It's that we had a used import from all over the Europe that cars are coming to Denmark. And today with the crisis we see in Middle East, with the high prices and gasoline and diesel, a lot of people who couldn't afford a new EV, they are in the market for used EVs.
Yeah.
And now we see a huge demand for used EVs. And I think we will see more and more used import in 2026 than we had the last year.
So even over the amount of 80,000 units than there are.
Yeah, that's the expectation.
Yeah, okay.
So the market will show us how things are going to change. But what we now see that the diesel has never been higher than it is as it now, and that in the middle of the day the user of EVs and they can charge they are free, and the other people they have to pay a lot of money for a crisis that they are not involved in.
For sure. I will come back to another topic, which we had of the beginning of our speak here. It was Texas. You said, okay, we have the malus, I would call it, on the fueled cars, yes, like diesel and so on, and we have the bonus on EV cars.
Yeah.
How is it in Denmark? Does the fuel cars, the diesel cars, subsidize the EV cars in any way, or is it connected anyhow? Or is it, okay, we have a bonus for EV and a malus for the fuel cars?
I think back in 2020, when the politicians thought to make this very, how can I say it, to make it easy to implement, then they said that the government had to pay the most of the bill that were coming from the EVs, but also the existing car who also need to pay something.
Yeah,
that was actually, if I'm not wrong, that it was about 4 billion Danish kroners.
Okay.
But the total amount of the difference is more than 120 billion.
So yeah.
So you still have a lot of fuel cars who were going to pay more for driving their cars, but the state also, the government also said that they had to finance it in some other ways. So, but now we face another problem because back in 2020 they also agreed that they will have a pit stop in 2025 on the future taxation of EVs, and they couldn't agree on it. So now we just had elections for last month, and we are waiting for a new government. There are also an expert group who are discussing the future of the taxation. Are we going to pay high taxation as EVs, EV drivers, or are we going to pay some other taxations? Yeah. Are the foreigners going to pay for the driving on the Danish roads as in Germany and so on? But the thing is that 2026 is going to be the year that builds the future taxation of EVs in Denmark. I think that EVs are now in a price segment where they maybe can tolerate some taxes,
mm-hmm,
not that much as the fossil fuels, but maybe some of them. But the thing is that if the government wants the same amount of the money from the cars back in 2020, then they have a big problem.
Yeah, for sure. So you need to say the EVs could step up a little bit in the taxes, fuel will stay on the same level, and then, okay, it will make all it's also a good choice then for the EV drivers because total cost of ownership still stays lower than the fuel cost.
Yeah.
But if they go on the same level, then we don't have the chance to choose the EV car because the total cost of ownerships are going up. And so no more or not that much of interest anymore than there.
Yeah, because the difference between total cost ownership is huge now in EV's favor. So you can so they can tolerate some, but the problem is that the EVs are still much higher to buy upfront. So we don't want the taxation upfront, but the taxation that you can pay as long as you have the car.
Yeah.
So every 6 months, the Danish car users, they are paying some taxes.
The taxes, they're okay.
To the government, that they could pay for the EVs, could it be much higher? Because I think for a big car like this one, you only pay 800 or 920 Danish kroners in 1 year.
Okay.
For a similar diesel car, I think the amount is 10 times higher.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Yeah, and you also touched some points on charging or charging prices where you said, okay, it's much lower than to fuel the car, that's for sure. But how we could see the charging prices, are we talking also dynamic pricing here if we're looking at public chargers, or is it mainly charged at home? How could we see the charging market here?
This 70% of the Danes households can charge at home.
Okay.
And they have this dynamic tariffs. That means that they have this price changing every hour and some of them every quarter. So every 15 minutes, you have a new price that you can. And we have a lot of smart systems. They can plan your charging that if you want to charge at the night where the price is cheaper, then it's all automated. And it's an important thing to remember. And 70% of the Danes have possibility to charge at home. That makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
Because the EVs are easiest to have when you have possibility to
charge
at home. But the other 30% or the that part of the 70% who wants to make charging at the public station, they have a lot of possibilities because you have more than 20 charging point operators.
Wow.
And it's a huge number for a small market like Denmark.
Yeah.
And it also made that the prices are very low because now I also follow the German market and the France market and the Italian market. I can see that Denmark have one of them. Denmark is one of the market that the competition here is very brutal.
Yeah.
Because you have a lot of cars, you have a lot of people who are charging at home, you have a lot of charging operators. And if you would, they want to consumers to come to their station, then they have to push the prices, the personal prices as much as they can. So the mean price for the market price for charging for a fast charging station in Denmark is 3 kroners and 50 cents in Danish price, and it will be almost
as I had it yesterday. It was 51 cent, I think.
Exactly, so 51 cent. That's the market
kilowatt
price.
Hour. Yeah, okay.
And in Germany, the market price is 79 cents.
Yeah, it's much than there.
Otherwise, you have to have a subscription, or then you will get some discount. But in Denmark, without subscriptions and without any discounts, then it's not unusual that you pay, 50 or 40 cents per kilowatt hour. And we have a lot of possibilities. So if you want to in the city, then you have a lot of places where you can fast charge. If you want to do it on in the highway, then there are a lot of possibilities also.
Yeah.
So that makes it very easy to drive and also cheap. And it's also very consumer friendly to use those fast charging, because before the AFIR, the regulation came from Europe, we actually had the same demands that you should be able to pay with credit card on fast charging stations.
Okay, so it was here before then.
Exactly. And it was actually here before also the in Norway.
Okay.
And the Norwegians looked into Denmark and then just copied our regulation into theirs, because even that the Norway is the leading, were the leading country.
Yeah.
I think when it comes to charging, Denmark is a much better country than it is in Norway. Not just because of the prices, but also how consumer friendly is, how easy it is, and so on.
Charging infrastructure. I put up a number. I think it was one of your speaking or interviews before. It just said it also here. Denmark is one of the best countries if you're looking at the charging infrastructure in perspective to the country at itself, from the amount of charges for such a small country, I would say. But you also mentioned before that 42% of EV drivers are not this kind of satisfied with the charging experience.
Yeah.
How could this put together? We have a huge charging opportunity here with 20 different CPOs, but almost half of the EV drivers are not satisfied with the charging solutions there. I think if they're charging public network home, how is this, how you could put this together there?
When we look at the back from 2013 up to 2020, we only had two or three charge point operators in Denmark.
Yeah.
And at that time, all the charging points that were installed, you couldn't pay with the credit cards. You had to have a subscription, and or you had to start your charging by sending an SMS.
Oh, okay.
So it was the Wild West. So that made that we had a lot of misinformation, and we also had a lot of hardware that wasn't up to date.
Yeah.
Then that made it this way that a lot of people had to have more than one app or two apps in their smartphones to start and stop the charging. And this made a very non-friendly market for the consumers, and it began to confuse consumers more than it held them.
Yeah.
But with the new regulations and the new situation in the market, where everyone wants to be consumer friendly, then we can see that it's much better than what it is before. So
yeah.
Those 42% is nothing,
okay,
compared to the situation before. But I think a lot of people needs also an education how to start their charging, or how to look at the prices, or to see it, because when it is on the fast charges above 50 kilowatts, so you have to install a new installation with possibility to pay with the credit card.
Yeah.
And that's consumer friendly. But we have, if I'm not wrong, more than 53,000 AC charging stations or charging points where you can start with the credit card.
Yeah.
And that's not consumer friendly, because then you have to install an app, or you can pay with through a QR code. But can you trust the QR code? And there are a lot of things, and it's not working always at as you want it. But because it's not nice to have more than a couple of apps at installed app, and the prices can be very wrong if you pay with the wrong app. Personally, I have more than 37 charging apps on the iPhone because I'm a geek. To say that,
I understand.
That's the AC or the slow charging is the main reason that a lot of things are not happy about the charges.
Okay, so not the AP high power charging sector. It's more about the public AC sector in the city than there is.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah, because when you come to a new city that you're visiting someone, then you want to charge your car because it's easy, but you don't know how to charge it. You don't know how to pay for it. You have to install an app and it won't accept your credit card, and it's going to, then you pay a huge amount to charge, and it's not friendly. But I think it will change as more are changing to EVs and demanding consumer friendly solutions, because the press has to come from the consumers.
And you said before, okay, a huge amount of Danish people have the luck to charge at home. But we're also looking at multi-family buildings. So more families living in one building than there without their own charging option right now.
Yeah,
I know that from Germany, it's a huge case there. It's so much cost if you want to start it there, especially if you only one family out of five wants to charge starting there. And if I know it right, you have advocated here for a legally guaranteed right to charge.
Yeah.
Is it still a case from your side? Or?
Yeah, and you can see if there was new regulation from EU that it's with the new energy building package directive, I think it is, that every country in Europe have to implement right to charge. The problem is that I think it's very good, and we are, of course, supporting it. The problem is that there are no money following, because if you want to install a charge in
family buildings,
exactly, then you have to pay it for yourself, but the others can also use it.
Yeah.
So it doesn't make any sense. For 3 or 4 years ago, we had this in Denmark, where the government gave 50 million Danish kroners to those family houses. And I think they expected 300
to put up the chargers there.
To put up the chargers, but there were 1,800 houses who wanted the installation. So it's quite a big number. So I think the new government also needs to look at that point in Denmark and say, and we have to help the consumers to begin. If this was the installations, then we can look at it afterwards. Because it's small amounts when you look at the government already pays for the tax exemption. Yeah. So.
Errors, that's right. That's another point you need to see from this side.
It is going to be easier, but there's also another point in that the competition between the charging point operators are so big that they also are competing on to be at that site. So they are making some new business models, which is easy to begin, to start, to install, and then they pay for the installation.
So it's not like much cost up front for the people who wants to install it. It's more the over time that they're...
Exactly. Okay. So it's made cheaper, but that's... I don't know if it's a sustainable solution, but you know, then it will be the CPO with the biggest cash.
Yeah.
They will win the market. I don't know if it's the right way to go, but I think the government needs to go look on it, because it's very important, because you still have 30% of the Danish households who can't charge at home.
Yeah. If you're looking at numbers, we're right around 600,000 units here, electric cars in Denmark. FDM projects 1 million cars, or projected at 1 million cars till 2028. It seems we're on the right way here. If you look at our speaking right now, what could be the biggest obstacle which we see, or which you see, who could get in the way to 1 million cars, EV cars, till 2028?
If the government doesn't pill with the to these taxes for the EVs, then the taxes for EVs will increase in 2027.
Okay.
And the increase in taxes will mean that some of the car buyers will wait, or will have alternative as gasoline cars.
Okay.
So I think that the taxation on EVs is the most important thing right now.
So it's a politician thing?
It's a politician thing, yeah. Because I think the market is ready, the consumers are ready, the charging infrastructure ready, and you have a lot of Danish households who have these dynamic tariffs, who will benefit to change from gasoline to EVs. So the car taxations are the biggest issue in Denmark right now.
An interesting point of view, I think, especially since the smart charging in Germany is such a hassle to be open. We moved in last September in our house, installed our smart meter in October, and now recording this, we have end of April, and I'm still don't able to use it.
Okay.
So this is crazy. And I was even on the faster side to get installed such a thing.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to wait 6 to 8 months to install smart meter. And it would be such a huge benefit for me also from the money side of things to charge even to lower price in the night, just like you told me. So it's not only the car side, it's not only charger side, it's all of this together to get a system forward, I think so.
Exactly. I think one of the topics in Denmark for 5 years also was that everybody should have these smart meters.
Yeah.
And we got it. Every household in Denmark now have a smart meter. So it makes that everybody can have this dynamic tariffing per hour, or some of them can also have this per quarter if they want to. And it makes it extremely cheap to drive in the car because the prices on the electricity is going up and down.
Yeah.
And it's we are depending more and more on sun and the wind.
Yeah.
Some days that you have, I think last year we have more than 800 hours in Denmark where the electricity price was zero.
Wow.
Or above the zero.
That's crazy.
Crazy. And that it makes it extremely cheap to drive in the EVs, and it makes it extremely attractive to drive in an EV. So I think one of the German problem is that you are not that digitalized.
Yeah, for sure.
As a country like Denmark. Yeah. But it's also easy to say it because Denmark is a small country. But I think the Germans' biggest problem is that you don't have these smart meters that can make it very attractive to have an EV because of the dynamic pricing. And the other thing is that it's difficult for Denmark to make EVs attractive unless you give a lot of subsidies. In Denmark, you have this high taxation on the alternative that makes it attractive to drive an EV. And the next thing is that we are looking at the FDM in the future, that it's how can you use your car to balance the grid, to actually help the grid instead of being a problem for grid. So your EVs, your electric vehicle is not just a vehicle, but it's also a mobile battery station.
So bi-directional charging is the
word
here.
But also just start and stop the charging when the grid needs it.
Yeah.
And when it's possible, of course, also use it as a bi-directional and to help the grid. So I think the future for electrical vehicles in Denmark is very bright, because it will still be cheaper to drive in it, and you still have a lot of possibilities to use your battery to make it cheaper to drive. So the total cost of ownership for the EVs in the future will also be very low. The only thing that's a huge issue in Denmark, that's the taxation.
Okay,
but it has also always been a huge.
Yeah, taxes is always not easy then to handle for sure. But if you're going down with the overall cost, you could also choose then to go a little bit higher on the tax side, and you're still on the winning side if you're driving EV. Then, just like you said before, what we could take from our speaking here after driving with you around is Germany needs digitalization for sure.
Yes.
To get a more clearer view on all the kind of things for energy, for EV drivers and so on. And also one clear way into the future from politician side, and not just step down, step forward and so on. Just one way to go. And even if it's a slower way, it would be a better way than just go left, right, and so on.
Exactly. Exactly. No stop and go politics.
Yeah.
And a lot of investment in digitalization that makes it cheaper in the in the other end. One of the things that have also made a huge difference is that we have this dynamic tariffs from the grid side.
Yeah.
I don't think you have it in Germany, but you pay a huge amount of tariffs if you charge your car or use electricity at home between 5 o'clock in the evening until 9 o'clock.
Okay. So it's also there, they helped you to learn when you to charge your car to on the right side and there.
Exactly. And yeah. So it has been a huge help for the grid that EVs don't charge.
But it's only possible if you have the digitalization behind it. So you could plan accordingly with your app or with your car to charge in the right time than there. That's one thing. And it helps to prevent the almost, you could read it almost everywhere in 2020, 2021, the blackout because of the EVs.
Exactly.
And this thing you would then also dismantle because you have, you charge the cars to different times than when it's the lowest. And especially if they could talk, I would say with the grid, they are able to go online and charge when it's possible and not start all at 10 p.m. in the evening.
Exactly.
They will start after another because we all know we don't get every time with zero energy and the battery to our home and charge up to 100%. It's always...
Yeah. And there was this in news from last week that the TCO in Denmark, Energinet, who has the responsibility for transmission network, they said that every third electrical vehicle in Denmark was actually helping the grid.
Perfect.
And not the other way.
Yeah.
So it's actually, I think we have to change our view to point of view to say that, okay, if going from that EVs are going to be an issue for the grid,
there could be a solution.
There could be the solution.
Nice ending words. Thank you for your time, Elias. Thank you for the insights on the Danish EV market.
Thank you.
Was mir nach so einem Gespräch im Kopf besonders hängen geblieben ist, ist die Klarheit, mit der Elias die Bausteine des dänischen Erfolgs beschrieben hat. Stabile Steuerpolitik, harter Wettbewerb beim Laden, flächendeckter Smart Meter und dynamische Tarife. Es scheint so einfach zu sein, denn es ist nicht dieser eine große Wurf, der gelingen muss, sondern eben das Zusammenspiel vieler kluger Entscheidungen auf unterschiedlichster Ebene. Und das ist vielleicht gerade die Herausforderung, vor der wir jetzt hier in Deutschland stehen. Denn gerade beim Thema Smart Meter konnte ich nur etwas neidisch zuhören, weil ich weiß, wie lange es bei uns dauert. Dazu demnächst mehr auch bei uns im Portal. Dir aber erstmal vielen lieben Dank fürs Zuhören. Schalt gerne in der nächsten Folge des EIN Podcasts wieder ein. Es lohnt sich auf jeden Fall. Mach's gut, bis dahin. Ciao.